supposed to do acts of righteousness, but we're not supposed to broadcast them. The needy should be given food and clothing. Jesus says, don't toot your own horn, right? He said, when you give, not if, when you give. He expects you to give. He wants you to give. And he tells us in other verses in the Bible that we're going to be wonderfully blessed if we are giving of ourselves, our talents, our finances, whatever. Give. Give. But don't tell it over. We have to have the right reasons, motives, and actions about our giving. If we have to make sure that everyone sees us and knows about it, we are hypocrites, and men's praise will be all that we get, not God's blessings. It's so easy to be hypocritical. I don't know about you, but if I'm putting money in the offering plate and I'm putting a dollar, I don't really want everyone to see that I'm putting a dollar. I just soon have everyone that's behind me in the pews think I put a 20 or a 50 or a 100 in. That's hypocritical. But how easy is it for us to fall into a little hypocrisy? In Luke 6:38, the Lord tells us the blessing that we have from being willing to give. Luke 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's if you don't have to go and tell everybody about it, right? Okay, let's go on. I hope that none of us are like the skater in the story. Matthew 6, 5 and 6. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Don't put on a big show about praying. Be careful about that. So many people will say, I don't want to pray out loud because I can't pray good. Who are you praying to? Who are you praying for? It's very easy to be hypocritical when it comes to praying. Here we all are in church, and we want everyone to believe that we're prayer warriors. We want everyone in this building this morning to believe that we pray and that we really get serious about it. So just the fact that you have come into the skating rink, I hope you're not just putting on a show when it comes to praying. How about when we come to the altar? Folks, you know me. You know me very well. And when I tell you these things, I'm talking to me too. We come to the altar for a time of prayer. We kneel down. I don't know about you, but there are times when I think, goodness, I've only been here a few seconds. I don't want to get up. I'll wait till some other people get up and go. Anyone else ever think that? I'm a hypocrite. God has given me this message because he wants me to be more careful, and he wants you to understand. You know, when we come and we kneel at this altar, if it only takes a couple of seconds to feel like we've connected and we're done, get up, go back to your seat. Emma. Or anyone else. Do not let the enemy give you a hypocritical action. Be careful, your spiritual life, that you're honest about praying. If you tell someone you're going to pray for them, be sure you do. Because not only being a hypocrite, but you end up being a liar if you don't. Matthew 6, 7, and 8. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. That's very difficult, not to say the same prayer over and over when Jesus tells us to knock, to seek, to keep on knocking, to ask, to keep on asking. But what he's referring to here is that you do not try to make a long and beautiful prayer to impress others. I can assure you that when I stand before you and take prayer needs to the Lord, I have to fight the flesh, Emma, who wants to sound good and wants to impress you. I have to get rid of her and connect. And I have to pray during the week that God will help me be anointed, be centered on him, and understand what your prayer needs are so I pray right. We all need to be careful that we're not trying to be like the scribes and Pharisees. They love to make a big show about their prayers. You know, if you come to pray for me for healing and you say, Lord, heal Emma, amen. That's great. That's great. But you know, we as Christians have got into a really bad situation of really trying to be impressive with our Christianity. We really need to be careful, don't we? Don't keep saying the same long prayer, trying to look good, trying to be impressive. And then Jesus gives us verses 9 through 15. And say this, no, pray this prayer with me as it's written here if you have the NIV. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. We also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Don't ever just say that prayer. I pray that prayer every Sunday night at the veterans' home at the close of the service. And here again, the flesh has got to get out the door. Because as I am leading the congregation in the Lord's Prayer, I want to be praying the Lord's Prayer, really meaning it, not hypocritical. hypocritical. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me with that. Praise the Lord, he does. If we don't forgive others, we cannot expect Jesus to forgive us. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, you're asking for so much. You know, thy kingdom come. Come on, Jesus, take us home right now. But thy kingdom come is salvation for others, that they might be in the kingdom. There's so much in that. Really pray it. Really mean it. He wants us to forgive others, whether they want it or not. Sometimes people don't even really care about us forgiving them. They just want to continue not being happy with us. This is the NIV. And in the King James, Matthew includes, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So this is a little rabbit trail, but not, because I think it's interesting. When the Bible stops the Lord's Prayer after, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you," thine is the kingdom and the power is left out. And this is what is known as a codis, something that's added on to the original document. You usually see this word as it regards wills. People add on to their will, change their will a little. They add a codis. Some of you, especially if you've had any upbringing in Catholicism, know that these last words are never said. When they say the Lord's Prayer, they say it just the way it reads here in the NIV. They do not say, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." These original writings did not have that codicil at the end. And I'm reading you from Dake's Annotated Bible, his comment on that. "Some critics omit this doxology, but out of over 500 codices which contain this prayer, only 8 omit it. 8 out of 500. So in 492 Bible translations, this doxology is used. And of course, Dake's Bible and comments are quite old, so these numbers have changed. This information may seem trivial, but I thought it was interesting to realize that the last part of the Lord's Prayer, that pretty much all of Protestantism will say the whole of the Lord's Prayer. In the original writings, it wasn't there. It was a codicil. But Jesus said, "This is the way to pray," and I found it a very beautiful way to pray and very meaningful. He's talking about being hypocritical when we pray, as opposed to how he wants us to pray. And once again, you know, there's so many areas in prayer that we can be hypocritical. We say grace at every meal. It's not always easy to really sense you've prayed the blessing on the food with real feeling. Let's try. So we go on now to fasting. What a wonderful topic of conversation. Verses 16 through 18, same chapter 6. "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men their fasting. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. When you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The Lord wants us to do our Christian duties, but not to be seen of men. Don't do them to be seen of men. How many times we are convicted from a sermon to fast, but we want people to know that we're fasting. Don't be hypocritical about it. Jesus said, you know, make your fasting a very private thing, not to be boasted about. One time in one of the churches that we went to, there was an older lady, and she bragged about fasting every morning. She fasted every morning and did not eat until noon. Well, the fact that she made sure we all knew that was hypocritical, because that's her reward, right? God's not going to reward that if we have to tell people. And I got to thinking at that time, that's not really fasting, because once you go without breakfast and you make that a habit, your body doesn't even demand it. It's very interesting how you can teach your body about that. You might not even realize it. Now, Greg and I have supper every night about 5 o'clock. And about 5 o'clock, I'm hungry. I want supper now. But Sundays, we cannot eat till after 7, because we don't get home from our services until after 7. And funny thing, every Sunday, I'm never hungry till we get home. You know, my body knows Sunday afternoon it's not going to get supper until late. So if you're going to start fasting because God gives you conviction in this sermon, don't think it's a great thing to make it every certain day at a certain time. Because then you're just training. It'll be easy to fast. It surely will. I do not fast Sunday afternoons. I'm not telling you what I do. That's just the way it goes, you know. We go to services at 4:30. We get home after 7, and that's when we have supper. I don't fast. Matter of fact, at Grandview, we usually have a little treat before we go home. Amen to you who go to Grandview and know. I call it the afterglow. Fasting is a way of crucifying the flesh and yielding to the Lord. And you who try to do that, it's a good thing that Jesus wants you to do. I minister to people who are almost, probably I would say 100% on medications, lots of medications. So when I encourage them to fast according to the Word of God, I encourage them to fast something they love, like flavored coffee or candy. You know, you can fast things without fasting the whole meal that you might have to take for medication. So don't think that God's letting you out of it. There's something you can fast. We're talking about doing things hypocritically. No hypocrites allowed in God's kingdom. In Matthew chapter 7, he talks about judging others, and that's hypocritical, because when we judge others, we're saying, you know, I'm better than that. I don't do that. Matthew 23:27. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. God wants us to be careful as we say, I am a Christian, that we're living up to that. We're not just posing, coming to the skating rink, looking ever so good, maybe even nodding our heads at the message. Are we taking it home with us and living it? Not just pretending. Time after time, Jesus accused the scribes and the Pharisees of being a hypocrite. Why? They cleaned up the outside, but they were filthy on the inside. They were mean and contemptible and hateful, and what they did for show. Don't make a show of being a Christian. Don't be like that skater in the story. She dressed the part. She acted like she was going to perform all kinds of fancy skating, but she never skated. Have you been acting like you're a Christian? Going to church? That's a good thing to do. Saying all the right things, but in your heart, there are things that you know you're not really living up to what Jesus has asked of you. No hypocrites allowed in the kingdom of heaven. Be a doer of God's word. Don't tell everyone about it. Don't act the part when you're not living it. And speaking of God's word, that's another way that Christians become hypocritical. We want everyone to believe because we came into this church this morning and we're sitting here claiming that we're Christians, that we all read the Bible. How often do you have to read the Bible to have it really be a part of your life? Only you can answer that. Reading God's word is the way we get to know him. It's the way that he empowers us to live like him. It's the way we learn to be like Jesus, like Christ, Christian. When they first called us Christians, it was derogatory. Oh, they're a Christian. Those people are Christians. Some today might say that. Matter of fact, I think quite a few today might still say that and mean it derogatory. If you're making a show of being a Christian, causing people to believe that you're going to church because you love God and you want to live for him, make sure that you're reading his word, praying faithfully, fasting when he leads you to, regularly. That's a good word, reading his word, regularly. Make sure you're living up to the show that you're putting on. Don't just act like you're a Christian. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God. I love that. If we present ourselves to God, approved, we won't be hypocritical, will we? We'll be what we're saying we are. A workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. In order to do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, one who's not just pretending, you might feel a need this morning to come to the altar There may be areas in your life that this message has touched on. In 2 Corinthians 6:3, the Living Bible, it says, "We try to live in such a way that no one will ever be offended or kept back from finding the Lord by the way we act, so that no one can find fault with us and blame it on the Lord." Paul goes on to say, "In fact, in everything we do, we try to show we are true ministers of God. No hypocrites allowed." I know this is a sobering message, but we need to be reminded again and again how easy it is for the enemy to sneak in and cause us to be pretentious, when that's an easy word to swallow. But when I say cause us to be hypocritical, not so nice. I'll close in prayer. The altar will be open.